content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Line Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the October 2021 issue of Line Magazine Online. We'll start today with the President's message, entitled, "The Beauty of Life Can Be Felt in the Heart." Dear Lions, it's been a while since I've walked the halls of the Boys High School in Brooklyn, New York, where I went to school, and a lot has changed since I graduated. In the 70s, it became the Boys and Girls High School and relocated to a bigger campus on Fulton and Utica. But the original building at 832 Marcy Avenue, the one I remember so well, is known for its Romanesque Revival architecture, which was listed on the National Register of Historic Places and is considered one of Brooklyn's finest buildings. It was a memorable place to spend my formative years as a young man in Belfort-Stuyvesant. A place like that leaves quite an impression. So when I went back years ago to participate in the Principal for a Day program, what surprised me was how nostalgic it felt, even though the high school I stepped into that day was no longer just for boys and, in fact, was in an entirely different location. Yet the moment I stepped into the building, I was transported back in time. I was suddenly immersed in memories of my days, walking the halls, laughing with my friends, and studying hard. The smell of sharpened pencils in the air, the squeak of shoes on the polished floors, the coolness of the lockers when you lean against them. These sensations were just as alive in this new place as they were in my memories. I realized it wasn't the beauty and historical significance of the original building that made the biggest impression on me. It was what I felt when I walked through the doors. And those kind of memories are made through people, the values, and the soul of a place. Those are the things that have made a place in my heart. Of course, the beauty of sight is a blessing, but there is so much more. We are Lions, and we are dedicated to helping end preventable blindness and to making life better for those with vision impairment. But I feel it's important to note what many without sight have told me over and over again. Yes, life is more challenging without sight, but it is still rich with beauty and color of a different kind. So this October, which is Vision Awareness Month, I'd like to celebrate the beauty of life beyond what we can see. Helen Keller said it best, "The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart." Yours in service, Douglas X. Alexander, International President of Lions Clubs International. And we're going to move right over to our Global Service Department, beginning in the United States with an article titled, "Reaching Across the World. Leos tutor students in China to help them get into college." The Edison Metro Lions of New Jersey struggled to find service projects for their Leos during the pandemic. Even outdoor park programs were canceled. But when they expanded their horizons a half a world away to China's remote, impoverished villages, and to students facing a whole different kind of struggle, they found a way Leos could serve. "What if someone says, 'Yes, I care, and I can help,'" asked Leos Julia Yi and Olivia Chen. The Leos, knowing that that test scores in high school and on the National College Entrance Exam determine an academic fate in China, became online English tutors. Children of villagers in the Dabi Mountains of central China and migrant workers brought up to one of the smaller islands that make up the fishing archipelago of Zhoushan don't have the same college opportunities that students in the larger cities have. Parents dream of their child becoming a first-generation college student so they can break the cycle of poverty. Edison Metro Lions Club President Hinglan Zhen and Lion Professor Yang Hong Jin connected the Leos with a college student's reading group in the Dabi Mountains, as well as new immigrant families in Zhoushan. Students in the Dabi Mountain villages were split in groups based on their English skills, and 3 to 5 were prepared with 4 Leos and a Lion for 90 minutes each week on Zoom. Participants prepared PowerPoint slides on a topic of choice, like food, fitness, apparel, and tourism. Middle school students from the families of migrant workers were paired up once a week with Leos for a 60-minute video chat, sharing about school routines, stories, and family life. The experience allowed access to authentic American English brought completely new perspectives to young minds, says Haiye Zhang, the vice academic director of the Mingzhou Middle School in China. For tutors in the U.S., like 15-year-old Yi, whose mother is from Zhoushan, it helped her realize how Leos can make an impact not only locally, but internationally. Their time together on Zoom also gave both sides a place to communicate, meet new people, cultivate friendship, and most importantly, have fun, says Chen, who's aged 14. As their tutor, I can see their progress in each lesson, in their pronunciation, vocabulary, and their willingness to try and take up challenges, she says. Not only has it benefited them, but also me. They are learning more English, and I'm learning more Chinese. Tutors also had to arrange mutually convenient lesson times, send out reminders, and set a schedule. So I learned to take on responsibilities not only for myself, but also for others who are depending on me, says Chen. 18 Leos participated in the project during the summer of 2020, helping 17 middle school students and about 20 college students, and this summer, 21 Leos paired with 20 students from middle school. The Edison Metro Lions intend to expand the summer project and hope to grow it into a year-round program. And our next Global Service article, titled "Hi Neighbor," is from Canada. Building more than just birdhouses in North Vancouver. The birds in North Vancouver's Hammersley Park couldn't stop tweeting about their new houses. But the 38 hand-painted houses hung by Lynn Valley Lions, Eric Mayura, and Mike Mavius weren't just for the birds. The birdhouse project was part of United Way British Columbia's Hi Neighbor program to encourage community connections, creativity, and smiles during hard times. For the energetic Lions, the houses were one more way they could support the environment and their neighbors. Last spring, they were hard at work building the Moodyville Community's garden in North Vancouver. It's considered their flagship garden. While it is their largest, it's certainly not their first. As they know, community gardens bring people together and promote fresh air, exercise, and healthy eating. And that is right on target with United Way British Columbia's interests, says Kim Winchell, the organization's Senior Director of Strategy and Operations. People were feeling disconnected. They didn't know their neighbors and didn't find interests in common with those around them. Social isolation was growing, and their sense of neighborhood was diminishing, says Winchell. What COVID was showing us, she says, is how much we need neighbors, and they need us, and we all need that good feeling that comes with human connection. What we saw during the pandemic was neighbors stepping up for each other, people walking dogs, picking up meds for neighbors, bringing them groceries, says Winchell. We saw how important togetherness is for a community. With help from the United Way's Local Love Fund, neighbors can come together to create and problem solve for their neighborhood. With a project in mind, they can apply for a UW grant of up to $1,000 or more if the need is great to bring people together. In this case, two women known as Project Champions applied for funding to enlist their community in painting birdhouses for the park. Lions helped spread the word. Interested residents picked up a birdhouse kit at the park and took it home to paint it, then returned it to the park to be winterized. Lions Club President Miura and Lion Mavius got out the high ladders to hang them. The Lynn Valley Lions have been a huge support, says Winchell. We worked with them on community gardens. What we want to do is very similar. We are both working toward the same goal, strengthening community. Winchell says other projects aided by the Local Love Grants have included little free libraries, barbecues and block parties, yoga in the park, a senior's lunch run by neighborhood youth, farmers markets, community cleanups, and a commitment wall. Those who sign the wall commit to meeting 5 new neighbors. And next, from our features department, we're going to bring you a noble cause. Irish Farmers Fund Hospice Center with Inventive Livestock Sales. Pat Laylor's family has been farming in Ireland for a very long time, since 1844 to be exact. It's what we're best at, says Laylor, a slim 72-year-old organic oat farmer. Ireland is known for small-scale farming, with an average farm size of just about 80 acres, according to the country's National Statistical Office. So it makes sense that when the Tullamore Lions Club in the Midlands region, also known as the Heart of Ireland, wanted to embark on their biggest fundraiser yet, they would rely on farmers. David Baker, one of the farmers participating in the fundraiser and a member of the Burr Lions Club, located in the Midlands, offers another reason. It's about community. Farmers in general around the world are very community aware and very community sympathetic, says Baker. Community is at the center of the project launched by the Tullamore Lions Club in January. The idea is to have farmers raise hooved animals and then donate the money from the sale of the animals to the construction of a hospice building. While some home and limited inpatient hospital care are available for hospice patients in the Midlands, there is no separate hospice facility or what is called a level 3 palliative care. In addition to providing medical treatment and pain management for dying patients, Level 3 also helps patients and their families deal with dying. Laylor realized just how helpful trained palliative care professionals can be when his brother-in-law was dying locally without the benefit of Level 3 care a year and a half ago. Hospice helps with this acceptance. Worrying about whether you are dying or not can actually be worse than actually dying, says Laylor, who is chairman of the project. So he had a really difficult time. By then, Laylor was already aware that the 290,000 or so people who live in the four counties of Laois, Offaly, Longford, and Westmeath in the Midlands were living in the only region in Ireland to lack a hospice facility. The country's health service executive covers the cost of running the facilities, but it is up to the local communities to fund their construction, a cost estimated to be about 15 million euros, which translates to 17.7 million U.S. dollars in the Midlands. Dying is never easy, says Laylor, but at least hospice workers can fast forward the acceptance of it all and the bereavement process and so on and leave people in a much better position. Livestock is a natural way for farmers to help. The idea to have farmers raise animals to help fundraise is not new to Tullamore, says Laylor. What is new is including all four counties. It was to recognize the four counties, the four hooves of animals, the four animals with hooves the project covers, cows, pigs, horses, and sheep. And what the project is for, that they named it Hooves for Hospice, and that's the number four in Hooves for Hospice. There are several ways it works. A farmer can donate an animal to be raised by another farmer, raise an animal that has been donated, or raise their own animal. After 12 to 24 months, the animal is sold and the money is given to Hooves for Hospice. Then there are more creative contributions, like the farmer who had a litter of 9 puppies and gave the money from their sale to the project. They call that donation Paws for Hospice. Getting the word out. While farmers are the focus, anyone can buy an animal, the most popular of which are cattle. After seeing a poster for the project while on her weekly trip to the butcher, one woman donated 11 euros, which is 13 U.S. dollars, and change from a $20 euro or 24 U.S. dollar note to Hooves for Hospice. In addition to signs, the club has also advertised on local media, usually free of charge. Club President Paul Cullen explained in an email that the purpose of the campaign is twofold: to increase the awareness of the need for a hospice in our region and to raise funds for same. Just a month after the launch of the Hooves for Hospice, the district governor named Tullamore Lions Club of the Year for 2019-2020. The project itself has no end date and no monetary goal because animal prices fluctuate. They started with 25,000 euros, which is 30,000 U.S. dollars, of club funds, which the Irish Hospice Foundation matched, and now have over 100,000 euros, or 118,000 U.S. dollars, in monetary donations. By September, despite setbacks due to the pandemic, they had 360 of the 500 animals they set as a goal for 2020. Of those animals is a calf being raised by Baker. Father, son, grandson. In addition to being a dairy farmer and a lion, there's another reason Baker is helping out, his father. Val Baker became sick while on holiday in 1994, and when he returned to Ireland, spent 4 weeks in the hospital and 2 weeks in hospice in Dublin. His son, now 49, remembers the care that Val was given and the way the family was accommodated, including being able to sleep in Val's room for the last few days of his life. Baker would like to have a facility like that in the Midlands, which is one reason why he is willing to raise another calf once his current host for hospice calf is sold. First, though, he has to find a name for the animal. After a few minutes' thought and some chuckling, he settles on Jack after his son. And next, we have an LCIF impact story titled LCIF Grants Funds Life-Saving Cancer Research in Australia. Gloom and rain don't keep 13-year-old Jack from fishing with his grandfathers. What would have stopped him just a few years ago was aggressive cancer. Doctors weren't sure he'd survive. Jack's first bout with cancer was a brain tumor. With surgery removing the growth, Jack's cancer was eradicated. Just 18 months later, however, the cancer returned, this time invading his spine, confining Jack to a wheelchair. As his disease progressed, Jack lost sight in one eye, began to lose sight in the other, and couldn't eat. With treatment not working, doctors advised Jack's parents to stop treatment. Their son's cancer was terminal. Unwilling to give up, Jack's family determined to keep him alive long enough to pursue groundbreaking treatment made possible by research through the Lions Kids Cancer Lions Kids Cancer Genome Project, offered in partnership with the Australian Lions Childhood Cancer Research Foundation and the Garvan Institute of Medical Research, and funded in part by a 2016 grant to Australian Lions from the Lions Clubs International Foundation, also known as LCIF. Enduring painful draining of his brain every 3 days, Jack received a change in fate. A breakthrough had finally arrived. Lion Dr. Joe Collins, AM, childhood cancer research advocate, founder of the Australian Lions Childhood Cancer Research Foundation, and cancer survivor, connected with the family, offering Jack access to life-saving treatment. The Genome Project sequenced genetic material of 400 children with cancer in Australia, giving doctors critical information to create personalized treatment plans to combat specific types and stages of cancer. Children like Jack, who first battled cancer at age 9 and again as a 10-year-old, are alive thanks to the Genome Project. Said Dr. Collins, statistically, Jack shouldn't be alive. Yet within 7 days of starting treatment, Jack was walking. Within 21 days, his eyesight returned. Within 45 days, he'd returned to school and fishing. It's amazing he's this active after such a difficult situation, says Alex, Jack's father. Before the Genome Project, we had a 1 in a trillion chance of finding the right treatment for him. Without the LCIF funding, this project never would have gotten off the ground, and we'd be having Christmas without Jack. In a special message to LCIF and Lions, Jack's family wrote, "Words cannot and will never express enough gratitude we have for everyone involved at Lions. Not only have you saved one child's life, but there's a ripple effect, saving many more precious sick kids. Jack was at the point of no return. We were desperate. Today, Jack is a strong, energetic boy, living life to the fullest. Because of your generosity and dedication, many kids will be able to receive the correct targeted treatment just like our lucky boy. Our heartfelt thanks. Worldwide, more than 300,000 children are diagnosed with cancer annually. Lions and Leos have long supported through service the needs of many of these children and their families, and LCIF has proudly empowered that service. In 2018, LCIF established the Childhood Cancer Pilot Grant Program to support projects addressing social and economic factors children and their families encounter during cancer treatment. To learn more about how LCIF grants help improve outcomes for children with cancer, visit lionsclubs.org/childhoodcancergrant. And that was lionsclubs.org/childhoodcancergrant. And now we're going to go back to the Global Service Department for World Sight Day, titled Seeing a Way Through, Pandemic Forces Creative Solution to Safe School Screenings. The Taos Lions traditionally screen more than 1,000 students from 17 schools each year in Taos County, New Mexico. But with hybrid schedules and remote learning last year, they couldn't safely do the usual testing of an entire student body in one day inside a darkened auditorium. Lion Mary Penson, in her first year as the club's KidSight coordinator, was not going to let the pandemic stop her from doing her job. With the help of her daughter, she came up with the creative idea to move their operation outside. Penson, a retired veterinarian, adapted three 5x5-foot greenhouse growing tents, converting them into portable outside screening booths that could easily be transported, set up, and taken down. Multiple zippers allowed workers to get cords and equipment in and out of the tents, and the tents could be placed side by side while keeping volunteers and students separate and safe. One tent was for the student, one for the camera operator, and one for the printer paperwork person. Each had their own entrance, exit, and ventilation, and wearing protective gear also helped secure the health of the child and the volunteer. "It was out of desperation," explains Penson. "We wanted to test, and we wanted to keep ourselves and the kids alive and safe." Taos Lions tested 835 students from toddlers to high schoolers in their new gigs, focusing on children in the pre-K to third grade, but also including any who had any concerns. That's to the credit of a, quote, terrific crew of 14, 12 of whom are Lions, says Penson. "They are amazing. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the support of our Lions Club here in Taos," she says. This year, the club had already completed vision tests on 954 students from 13 schools, leaving just a handful of schools to finish before their self-imposed deadline at the end of the month. 18% of the students have been referred for follow-up exams. Although the club continues to offer the tents as an option, all but two schools have gone back to the traditional setup inside. One school is using tents again because the school has construction underway. "Just another way that those tents come in handy," says Penson. And I have a short article for you titled, "Peace Prevails." In a year of pain and heartbreak for many, the annual Lions Club Peace Poster Contest proves that peace does find a way. Despite global lockdowns, clubs organized and children created elaborate drawings, many featuring healthcare workers to share their idea of peace with the world. The 2020 and 2021 grand prize winner is Yui Zheng, 13 years old, from China and sponsored by the Dalian Daylong Lions Club. Joshua Wood, 13 years old, from Australia, is the winner of the Peace Essay Contest for his essay titled Peace Through Service. He is sponsored by the Brisbane Campbell Carindale Lions Club. You can read his essay at lionsclubs.org/peace-essay. That was lionsclubs.org/peace-essay. And to wrap it up, I've got some club news for you today. We're going to begin with Western Idaho. It says, after a year's absence due to no Western Idaho fair, the Boise Bench Lions in Idaho got back to staffing the Found Kids booth, a project started in 2014. Parents or guardians bring their kids to the booth to be registered, and this year, 1,042 kids got a numbered armband and contact information for the parent or guardian was recorded. If the kids are separated from adults, they can go to any security staff or vendor and will be brought back to the booth where the Lions or security will contact the adults. In West Virginia, the Alum Creek Lions had a 50-50 raffle to celebrate the arrival of Taylor Ross, 7-pound daughter of PDG Mandy Ross and Alum Lion Dean Ross Jr. The Lion, who correctly picked September 1st as the date of her birth, which was the same date as his own birthday, claimed the prize. The other half of the 50-50 money went into the club's scholarship fund for students going to college. Taylor's grandfather is also an Alum Creek Lion. Hundreds of Aurora area residents in Illinois attended the City of Aurora's 8th annual Youth and Family Resource Fair, where Aurora Noon Lions were among 40 community organizations providing information. The students and teachers at Southern Door Elementary School had a nice surprise as the new year started. The Brussels Lions in Wisconsin painted a 2-scale, 35-by-55-foot map of the United States on the pavement with dots at the state capitals. In addition, they painted a 20-by-30-foot world map with each of the continents a different color. In Oklahoma, the Tulsa Downtown Lions Club, through their Cycle for Life program, awarded 2 special needs individuals from Owosso, Oklahoma, bicycles tailored to their special needs. The Cycle for Life program provides outdoor therapy bikes for special needs children, wounded warriors, and wounded peace officers in the Tulsa and the surrounding community. The summer concert series concluded for the McKeesport Lions Club in Pennsylvania on Labor Day with a weekend rib fest at the Reinzelhausen Park in the Lions Bandshell area. The weekend included ribs with all the fixins from the 4 vendors, the Lions Food Booth, Lions Ice Cream Booth, and Funnel Cake and Lemonade Booth. This was all topped off by fireworks on Labor Day evening when the Lions thanked all those who made the free Sunday evening concerts a success. The Goliad, Texas Lions Club delivered suitcases, backpacks, bags, blankets, and toiletries to Luca's Luggage Project to help children in vulnerable situations. And sadly, we've run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine, but be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. And again, that's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and I hope you have a wonderful day.